Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our virtual meeting. It is 10 a.m. on April 29, 2022, and time to convene.
Chair Olson, can you just confirm it's April 19th, not the 29th?
Okay, April 19th, 2022, and time to convene the regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Toni Olson, Board President. In accordance with the Governor's Proclamation 2028-15, we are holding our meetings remotely. I have with me this morning Commissioner Rebecca Wolf, Vice President, Commissioner Sid Logan, Secretary, John Harlow, CEO, General Manager, Ann Spangler, General Counsel, Allison Morrison, Assistant Clerk of the Board, and Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please mute and turn off the camera on your devices when not presenting. This session is for the Board and the CEO General Manager to study and discuss issues among ourselves and with the PUD staff. If there is public request to comment and the time remains, 15 minutes will be allowed at the end of our briefing session. I'll now turn it over to John Harlow.
Good morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're going to jump right into it. I'm excited about the first topic on our community engagement, and that's on career-connected learning. And John Rover and Irene Hines are going to talk about that. Good morning, John and Irene.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I can do my video. There we go. John and I were tasked to head up a Arlington Skilled Trades Fair that they had for a bunch of the different high schools. Actually, a son of a past employee, Michael Gudgeon, son of Dan Gudgeon, who used to work here. He reached out to us specifically and encouraged us to participate as part of our team's outreach to include diversity, equity, inclusion. We took full advantage of this opportunity. We brought the ARC trailer as a demonstration for the kids. We had the meter department represented, the apprenticeship wireman represented. We talked to the kids about the different apprentice opportunities and the other opportunities at PUD that include careers that require degrees and careers that don't require degrees. We got to tell our story of how we got here, how we moved up, and all the different opportunities that the district offers. I thought it went really well for our first try. We had a lot of different people there, and we got to share a lot of the different highlights of working at the district. I've been here for longer than John's been alive, I think, 36 years.
Wow, good for you.
I know. And so I moved through different departments and stuff, so I got to share that. There were over 35 vendors at the fair. They represented Arlington High School, Weston High School, which is the alternative school, Arlington Middle School, Granite Falls High School, and Everett School District. Great. So we had a good variety of different areas in the county. I'm going to hand it over to John Rover now.
Sure. Yeah, I'll just add to what Irene was sharing. I felt that the day was a huge success. You know, we were able to reach out to many students from different schools. And as Irene stated, we were able to talk with them about all the diverse opportunities that the PUD offers. And, that's just, it's fun, but it was really cool because they have no idea. And you know, that was probably one of the biggest takeaways is that most of them are kind of going down this channel where you go to high school and seek college, and that's great. But, you know, there's a lot of local opportunities, some that require degrees, many that don't, that are very rewarding careers. And we're able to share them and kind of talk with them on, you know, how they can pursue those. And then at the same time, it's always good. We had the ARC trailer demonstration there, so they got to learn about safety too. So it's always fun being able to educate, not just on the career opportunities, but safety as well.
And they like the hot dogs cooked on the ARC trailer.
Yeah.
That was a hit.
Me too.
Yeah.
Always fun drawing an ARC. And you know, a big part of that success too, I believe, I just want to say thank you, is the support from our leadership. You know, being able to take a day to do this, and then the time that it took to plan, to have to be prepared. I also think one thing that helped us be successful was the enthusiasm. You know, when we reached out amongst the different work groups and departments, people were excited. Everyone wants to get involved in the community. They want to share, you know, hey, we got a good thing going, and you can, you know, we want you to join us if you have a passion like we have a passion. And so I think that support and the enthusiasm and just the cross-department collaboration really helped us, you know, be able to make this day go well. And then, of course, lastly, having done this once, and kind of where Irene was sharing is, this is a start. We see this as a starting point. You know, we see so much opportunity continue to engage the community and the students about these opportunities, and just kind of help them explore and know what's available. So,
yeah. John and Irene, this is Commissioner Wolf. I am so enthusiastic about this program. Whenever I'm doing a guest speakership or anything like that, I always bring jobs into it and talk about, you know, some of the varieties of jobs, and encourage the teachers also to talk about this. So in the going forward, if there are any opportunities to include us, I would really enjoy that. You know, I have had a career in education, and I love meeting the kids, talking about their futures, their plans, their hopes. And this morning we had a very interesting economic alliance meeting, and Representative Larson talked about the jobs shortage all over the US, but the labor market, I mean, we have the lowest unemployment in four decades or more. And yet we have this labor shortage, but we have a lot of immigrants coming in. So I suspect that a lot of the students that you may meet will be immigrants who are going through language education. And I'm hoping that we can help fill the labor shortage with some of the immigrant labor that might be coming in. And we have, I heard yesterday that the majority of the immigrants, even on the southern border, are from Ukraine. So, I mean, it's an interesting time for labor shortage, immigration, and how we can, you know, work with these new immigrants.
Thank you, Commissioner Wolf. That's great input. Commissioner Logan, do you have any comments?
Yeah, thank you, John and Irene. I live in Arlington. I saw many, many, many positive social media posts by parents, so appreciative, that called out the PUD, and also from customers that called out our involvement in that work there. So thank you so much for doing it. I think it's a wonderful program, and I hope we can replicate it around the county. And I just think, if others have said, kids don't know what's out there, and they don't know what's on, right. You know, if they don't have the menu, they can't order. So
right.
Thank you very much.
This is Commissioner Olson. Everything everybody said, I agree with. And you know, we have a robust education system in the schools. And you know, I hope that we can find the time, staff's time, to really expand this and get into the schools, and maybe even into the trade sections of the community college. We have a good story to tell. And I know, as my fellow commissioner said, high school kids don't know a thing about it. And they don't know that the variety and these are good, solid jobs. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I support doing it, and maybe even expanding it considerably.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Our plan is to grow it.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing. I appreciate that. John, Next item.
Yeah, just first, really a huge kudos to John and Irene for taking the leadership in this. And again, this is an investment in our community and for ourselves, and it's well worth the time and effort to do this. So again, huge thank you, and thanks for reporting out on it, guys.
Thank you.
Next up is the legislative update that was provided in the packet. We have Brenda White and Kim Johnston here for questions, if we have any.
I have no questions. Thank you for the report.
Yeah, I have no questions either.
Let's see. I do have something. Just a minute. Let's see. On page 8, under Snake River Dams, the $350,000, is that part of Governor Inslee's project with Senator Murray? Is that what that money is for?
I believe that money was allocated for that purpose, but uh-huh. I might call on, we have with Clark out now, he's since left the utility. We have Marianne Daca, who is our state lobbyist. She's very talented. She's on the line, and I might just call on her to give a little more perspective on that, if we can unmute her.
She was unmuted on our end. She just needs to unmute herself, but it looks like she may have dropped off the call.
Oh. Well, that's okay. Have to answer it today. That's my guess, is that it's not a ton of money. And I know that Governor Inslee is working with Senator Murray on that. So anyway.
I appreciate the question. I do believe that you are correct, but I want to confirm, because I always like to put 100% accurate information out there. So we'll follow up with an email.
Okay.
And just confirm that fact.
I think that was wait a minute. There's one other question. Let's see. Wait just a second. In the item on page 9, at the bottom about the supplemental transportation budget, says that both transportation committee chairs announced that they were committed to approving significant transportation investments, but I don't know who the other chair would have been. Do you know, other than Senator Leas? It says both chairs, but it doesn't. I guess it was the previous chair and Marco Leas. Does anybody know?
I may be able to answer that. It's likely Representative Jake Fye on the House side.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. That's all I have on legislative. Thank you much. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Brenda. So next up is our 2021 audit results, and Julia Anderson. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? So I'm here today to introduce Olga Darlington. She is our partner with Moss Adams, and she's actually going to be doing the presentation on our 2021 audit results for fiscal year ending December 31st.
Good morning, members of the commission.
Morning.
Welcome. Good morning.
And I do have a short presentation with some visuals, summary of our audit results. We can go ahead and skip to the next slide.
Ogle, I do believe you do have control of the slides if you use your arrow keys. Jenny may have given you control.
Oh, there we go. I was trying and it wasn't going as fast. So I think I'm catching up. So let me. Okay. first off, I wanted to summarize the services that we provide for the district, which include the annual financial statement audit for the district itself, as well as the compliance audit that was required for 2021 in accordance with the Uniform Grant Guidance and the compliance audit related to the federal expenditures. So the federal programs that were granted to the district, total federal expenditures in 2021 for all grants received by the district were almost $6.3 million. Of that, one program specifically was required to be tested for compliance, and that was EPA Drinking Water State Revolving Fund Loan in the amount of $3.1 million. So that program was tested as a major program. So compliance audit in addition to the audit of the financial statements in accordance with GAAP. Based on our audit, we issued unmodified opinions. And of course, unmodified opinions means clean opinions. That is exactly what you want to hear. There's no modifications of any kind. That means the financial statements of the district are presented in accordance with GAAP, which is Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, as issued by Government Accounting Standards Board. We also issued a report on internal controls because the financial statement audit was performed to following government auditing standards. We're required to look into internal controls and issue a report to make sure that there is no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies that needed to be called out. And I'm pleased to report once again, there were no findings identified in the internal controls report as well. One additional report that we issued that I mentioned earlier for the compliance audit specifically, it's a compliance report. There we go. It's a report on compliance related to the major program. We test specific compliance requirements that are called out in the federal program itself and making sure that the district followed all of those provisions of the grant. Making sure the funds were spent according to the federal award requirements. And once again, clean bill of health there as well. No findings, no material weaknesses identified in that report as well. So all in all, very positive results for the audits of the financial statements and the compliance audit. I mentioned government auditing standards and auditing standards under which we perform the audit. So those standards require us to issue an opinion on the financial statements, which the district actually provides. So the district drafts the financial information, puts it together, and we just provide an opinion on that after extensive digging into verification of all the numbers and all of the transactions reported in there. As part of our government auditing standards requirements, we look into the internal control of financial reporting and compliance. Those internal controls include major business cycles such as payroll, cash disbursements, cash receipts, make sure that the customers of the utility get billed timely and correctly. So those, all of the internal controls and processes within the district that we look at as part of our audit. And one other reminder is the audit is designed to provide reasonable assurance rather than absolute assurance. So as part of our audit process, we make selection of transactions on which we base our decision and our opinions. Significant areas of the audit, I cover these every time and every time they change just a little bit, but some of the standard areas that always are in scope as being significant is revenue recognition. And this is going back to making sure that all the customers get paid or get billed correctly and the receivables are being collected. So the collections from the customers, particularly in this last couple of years, that has been a bigger issue for many utilities in the state of Washington. We also look at revenue contracts, sales of power and water to other entities. Capital assets is another big area. There's a lot of infrastructure improvements and capital projects that are going on within the district. So we make sure to look at the costs that are being incurred there and
making sure that all appropriate additions to plant are being capitalized timely. One area that we have heard about a lot is the pension, net pension asset and net pension liability. The district participates in the Washington State Retirement Plan for all Washington employees. In the past, the proportionate share of that total liability of the plan was recorded in the district financial statements, and it still is recorded, although the pleasant surprise in 2021 financial report of the first plan was that the first plans 2 and 3 became in a net asset position. So they were fully funded as of the end of 2021 because of the good performance of the investments. That may not be the case going forward as the investments performance will fluctuate over time, as well as other assumptions in determining the pension asset or liability will change over time as well. But that would be one item that's significantly different in the current year's financial statements when you look at the balance sheet compared to last year. So we spent a lot of time reviewing the actuarial reports from the state plan and recalculating that portion of the liability or the pension asset that's recorded on the district books. And of course,
I have a question. After you finish this page, under the first point, administration of federal awards, does that include state awards as well, grants and awards?
It primarily includes the federal awards. We do look at all grant awards and test them as part of just revenue received by the district, but specific compliance requirements are tested for federal awards specifically.
Yeah,
which the state of Washington drinking fund loan is actually, it's a state fund, but it comes through the federal, from the federal agencies. So that's why that becomes a major program for our testing for compliance.
Thank you.
All right, and some of the other significant areas that we consider important to communicate to you. Significant estimates, management estimates, the financial statements include some of those estimates that, or some of the numbers that are based on just the knowledge of management of its operations of the district and historic performance, such as allowance for debt or receivables, for example, or certain accrued liabilities for damages, injuries, legal claims, and so forth. So those are all of the management estimates that we take a close look at, making sure those assumptions are accurate and reasonable when reported in the financial statements. So I'll jump ahead to the next slide. We are required to report to you if we encounter any significant difficulties in performing an audit or if we have any disagreements with management. With respect to accounting practices or internal control processes or anything else. And I'm pleased to report that there were no disagreements with management in the course of the audit. We do have some very productive discussions with respect to accounting policies or accounting standards, but there were no issues that came to light that I would describe as disagreements with management. Jumping ahead, another area that we have to report to you on relates to whether there were any adjusted entries that were posted to the financial statement. So whether we found any numbers that were incorrect and asked management to correct the final numbers in the financial statements. And I am pleased to report there were no audit adjustments during our audit. I think that's a very big and A plus to the finance and accounting team of the district. While it sounds like a non-event, it actually is a big deal because the number of transactions that are being processed by the district, the number of just complexity and different transactions that are involved in putting the financial statements together for an auditor to not find anything to adjust is a big deal. So I want to make sure that that's that gets highlighted. Big kudos to the accounting and the finance team for putting all of the numbers together. That also means that information that's provided to management for report or for making analysis and decisions throughout the year is also accurate. And that information that's presented to the commission on a monthly basis as well. accurately presented. Okay, jumping ahead to the next slide. This was the last year when we didn't have significant accounting standards to implement. So the financial statements do not have any significant changes in them related to new GASB standards. Starting with next year, there will be several significant accounting standards that will be implemented, such as NISIN standard, information technology computing standards. So those we'll be evaluating the risk management, and those new policies will be in the notes next year for me to provide to you. But as of now, the policies and related to new accounting standards as described in the financial statements did not have significant change from prior year. As far as we know, management didn't consult with any other accountants. That would be important. If they did, we would want to make sure that the other accountants have same information on which they provided their advice as we do in, as being as auditors. But as far as we know, that did not occur. So management didn't, let's say, opinion shop from another accounting firm. Significant risks and exposures to the district are disclosed in the notes to the financial statements. There's a note on contingencies that describes some of those instances. I have to say that we base our audit approach on the risks that the district is faced with. We do hold discussions with management, including the general manager, the CFO, the power supply department, all throughout the district, to make sure that we as auditors understand those risks very well before we perform the audit. And we can tailor our audit approach to make sure that we address those risks, financial and otherwise. So, and we talk not only with management, we talk with legal counsel in-house and external legal counsel as well, to make sure that we get a good picture of that. So that information is disclosed in the report. I mentioned that a couple of new standards will be coming up and will be important to implement in the next couple of years, leases and subscription-based information technology arrangements. Those will be effective in 22 and 23, that we will work with management on getting those implemented. Just a quick highlight of our client service leadership team was Lori Tisch being the QC reviewer. We do have a QC reviewer who is not involved in the day-to-day audit, but does review the financial statements to make sure they're in accordance with GAAP and there's nothing that got missed in the process. And of course, Todd Ryland, who's our audit senior manager, who manages our entire audit team and all communication with the district staff. We do have audit seniors and managers in our IT team as well involved in the audit. All in all, about eight people involved in the audit. So just wanted to highlight their effort. And of course, last but not least, a huge thank you to everyone at the district. The audit, once again, was done entirely remotely, which is a bit of a challenge in itself, just coordinating all the meetings, all the discussions, all the document requests. So everybody was very, very helpful and responsive to our questions, very available for any interviews that we needed to perform. All of the information was provided to us on the timeline that we set out for getting the audit started. And as a result, the audit was completed on time. Just wanted to say thank you to Julia and her entire team was working very well collaboratively with our team to get the audit completed. And that completes my presentation.
Madam Chair, this is Scott Jones, the district CFO. If I can just make a couple of quick comments too. We also are very appreciative of the relationship with Moss Adams. When you think about a relationship with an auditor, you need to strike the balance between having a good relationship of collaboration and a good honest back and forth, but you also need a firm that'll still hold your feet to the fire and make you accountable for what you need to do. And I think we've got that relationship with Moss Adams, so I'm very appreciative of that as well. I do want to pile on an additional compliment to Julia and her folks. They've had an eventful few months between staffing issues and system wrinkles and all kinds of other things that have kind of brought them through the last 3 or 4 months. And so I'm very appreciative of that. Julia and her group take a great deal of pride in getting through these audits and providing some clean financials and clean opinions. And between this and all the other numerous audits that we have to go through, it's a lot of work. So I want to make sure that they get a good compliment, because it is a challenge to negotiate through these things in a really effective and efficient way during the year. And there's a lot of work that goes into that. So I'm very appreciative of Julia and her team and them taking this stuff very seriously.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. It is always a big team effort, district-wide effort, but I appreciate all the support that my team gets from the district and from management. And as Scott would say, to pile on, we do have a really good working relationship with Moss Adams. And I'd like to thank Olga and her team for all their efforts this year. It was a bit challenging at times, but we persevered and we made it through. So thank you, Olga.
I'd be remiss if I didn't also pile on to say the same. Huge kudos and thank you to Julia and her team, as well as Olga and Todd and their team as well. Just I know this is always a huge lift, extraordinary huge lift for lots of different reasons this time around. But again, great job to all. We are very lucky to have the folks involved in this process that we do.
Amen. Commissioner Logan, do you have any comments?
Yeah, Olga, thank you for the presentation. Great presentation. Congratulations, Julia, on a clean audit and making Scott look good.
No truer words have ever been spoken. There's a wide gap between the amount of work I put in versus the amount of work Julia. So I appreciate that you're putting credit where credit's due.
And I know I've worked with audits and it's a tremendous amount of work. And so, you know, hats off. I know it's a lot and I really appreciate it. And I'm glad we have a great working relationship with Moss Adams.
Yep. I echo all of that, and I want you to know that the commissioners also have to fill in reports to the PDC, and I got mine in on time this year. It's called the F1 report, financial report, and all of that, and so we all have to be kept on the straight and narrow.
Yes, do our reports. Olga, that's Commissioner Olson. Thank you very much. And when it speaks to in my PUD working days, had been through several of the audits, and a good working relationship is so important. And those audits weren't very pretty way back then. So, and even then, I was astounded at the amount of work and staff time and that it takes to prepare for and work with Moss Adams in terms of completing this. And I think I said multiple times, I just, a lot of hard work, and you folks do a darn good job.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right, the next item we have, John.
That is it.
We don't have
on my
one.
End. Yeah.
Do you have any other items before we move on? And it looks like we have time to take public comment. And if we have anyone that would like to provide public comment, we'll take 15 minutes. And please indicate you would like to speak by clicking raise your hand, or if joining by phone, dial *9. Do we have anyone that would like to make public comment, Allison?
We do, Commissioner Olson. I show Gayla Shoemake.
All right. Gayla, good morning.
Good morning, Commissioner Logan and Wolf and Olson and the rest of you. Good to see you all this morning. I have two comments. First of all, I read the very long article, well, good article in the Everett Herald about the smart meters coming up, but I did not see anything in that article about how to do the opt-out. And I'm wondering if, I know the last time we talked about this, you guys hadn't decided exactly how that was gonna go, but I've had several friends who've asked me about it. So if you could, you know, either send me something or, you know, put it in writing somewhere, maybe on the website, I don't know. So they would know how to do it to do the opt-out process. That's the first thing. The second thing, I wanted to commend you on, there's this a photo in my Edmonds News this morning about an award that the PUD got for environmental, some kind of an environmental award. I didn't read the whole article, but it was nice to see, and I wanted to congratulate you on that. I think that's it. Does anybody know anything about the opt-out program? I mean, the process, is that still in, you know, in the planning stages?
I'll ask John. I believe it's still in the planning stages.
Yeah, the Connect Up team is working through and finalizing how that program will work, and they are planning to come back to the commission and present recommendations and that plan. And I see Guy popped on, so he can provide a little more detail.
No, you're exactly right, John. There is definitely an opt-out program. The details are being finalized, and like you said, we'll be back to the commission with that information.
Thank you, Guy.
Madam Chair, I don't think we need all the details at this point. We just need to let the public know that there will be one. So including that in our communications, our marketing should be included.
Thank you, Commissioner Wolf, for that reminder. Let's see. Do we have anyone else on the line, Allison?
I do not show anybody else.
All right, let's move on. It is 10:37, 8. We didn't start at 9, so Tony's off by an hour. 10:37 a.m. And the board will recess into executive session to discuss current and or potential litigation under the terms of set forth in the Open Public Meetings Act. It is anticipated the executive session will last approximately 20 minutes with no public comments. The regular meeting will reconvene virtually at 1:30 p.m. Thank you, folks.